Good morning, everyone. It's Tom.
And Savannah.
Yes, folks, I have the queen in the house this week, or the one who thinks she's the queen outside of me. Julie is out today because she is helping Chase with something. And I don't know if it's actually helping. I mean, she's just going to a doctor's appointment with him, right?
Yeah, because poor little baby can't go by himself.
You better shut up talking about my child. But so Chase had a doctor's appointment because he hurt his hand. So his mother is going with him for that. And so that's it. I mean, it's raining in Nashville. We're either flooding, having a tornado, or we're 100 degrees in weather. I mean, this is the most screwed up. People who say that there's not global warming is crazy. I mean, I remember when Al Gore started talking about it. You know, and Tipper lives like around the corner from us on Linwood. And I remember when Al Gore started talking, and I love the face that you just made to me because you don't even know who that is.
No, I
don't. Savannah, don't talk.
I don't.
I remember when Al Gore started talking about global warming, and everyone thought he was batshit crazy. Well, now I'll stand up and take your applause because everyone else was batshit crazy for not listening to you because global warming exists. I don't think anyone denies that anymore.
No, a lot of people do. It's kind of insane.
Okay, well, then they're stupid.
No, the other night, it was like freezing temperatures. There was frost. And now this weekend, it's supposed to be like 85 degrees.
I mean, how do you even know how to dress? I mean, you know, I go to bed at night and think, okay, I'm going to look hot tomorrow because I'm going to be wearing this cashmere sweater and this and this and this. And then I get up and I got to put on shorts and a t-shirt because I feel like that I'm in Palm Springs.
Only Todd would say that.
Well, you have to kind of.
I don't think anyone's worried about how they're dressed, like, since this whole quarantine thing.
I worry about how I dress. I tell you every day to get up and put a good face on, make sure you're dressed, and feel good about yourself. Are you not doing that?
Well, I mean, I'm getting up, I'm working out, I'm just trying all kinds of new things. Yesterday, I got dry needling done, and I'm telling you, I am so sore today, but it's okay.
But see, you do a lot of freaky shit that I'm not going to do. Dry needling and all this yoga and.
But I mean, it helps. I sat down at the chiropractor yesterday. Y'all, if you know me, I'm a sucker for anything.
Anything. You can sell her anything.
But I just like to try new stuff. So if you need like a review on something, just ask me.
Yeah, if it's the most bizarre thing in the world, you know, like eating cow shit, you know, that's been frozen and covered in chocolate, she's bought it.
No, but I did. So a friend of mine, we worked out, and then because we are open here in Tennessee, so we're being smart, but kind of trying to get back in the routine of things. And we worked out and then went right across the street to her chiropractor, and I talked to him, and he literally looked at me and said, oh, yeah, your body is jacked up. From my car accident,
I bet that offended you, though, after all the work you do to keep your body in gear.
No, it honestly made me feel good because it made me feel like I wasn't crazy because
That one visit did not substantiate that you're not crazy.
Whatever. But, y'all, I tried dry needling, and I think that's, like, my new go-to thing. I'm going a couple times a week to get my body back in check, but I'll give
you an update. Doing dry needling. I do micro needling.
I do micro needling, too. I do it all.
We know. We are fully aware.
No shame. I have always said, do what makes you feel comfortable, and who gives a crap what anybody else says.
Well, and there you go, folks. There you have it. So, you know, each week, you know, this is kind of new for you because, you know, you actually have been too busy to come and sit in on the podcast.
No, but I think he got a little salty, y'all, because
go ahead and tell
you. A few of you went on social media and said, yeah, no, I like Savannah's suggestion of switch up the podcast a little bit. And he's never going to admit it, but I've been listening. And ever since I said that, he's kind of been switching it up a little bit. But it's okay. He just gets salty when I'm here because.
Well, listen, I try to listen to my manager and I try to listen to what you tell me.
Thank you.
So if that makes you feel good to believe your own bullshit.
Did you see what I posted on Instagram?
See what
last
I told
night?
You, how she'll buy into anything?
Did you see my post on Instagram last night?
No, I didn't.
My back after being, the looks, the brains, and the humor of the family. It was a broken back.
You know, you are so full of it.
I gotta show you the picture because it was. Chase responds, said, ha, ha, ha.
You know, listen, Chase and Savannah go back and forth saying that they're the ones who carry the family. What she posted was a picture of somebody's spine breaking in two. And she says, my back after carrying all the looks, talent, and humor of the family. You know, Chase says the same thing. And Mama swears that she is all of the above.
Well, I mean, if we're being honest, Nanny is, but it's okay.
You better hope she lives as long as Betty White. So, you know, kind of what we talk about each week, Savannah, is we do an intro into what's going on in our lives. Then I give a recap of, you know, that shithole Georgia Department of Revenue. And then we move on to callers. So what's going on in your life right now, besides quarantine and dry needling?
I mean, just I'm trying to get back in the routine of things. The world is stopping around us. And just because the world stops doesn't mean we have to stop. And that's just the conclusion that I've come to. I'm being safe. I'm being cautious. But, you know, I got to get back in the routine of things. So during this quarantine, I have tried to make it a point to get my health in check and, you know, get my body right. So I've been sticking to my South Beach diet. And I've been making my shakes every morning, and I've been working out with my trainer.
I'm not gonna lie, because I stole one of your ice cream bars the other day when I was over there, and it was actually good. I didn't actually know that it was South Beach. I thought I was getting me a fudge bar, but it was actually good.
Of course, Dad did. You see, y'all, I can't have anything to myself. Well, I mean, it was in their house because I keep a stock over there, and I keep a stock at my house.
I was getting ready to say, whose freezer was it in?
But that's besides the point.
Besides the point.
Same thing.
Okay.
And I'm feeling good. I mean,
well, you look great. You look like I looked when I was, you know, 25.
We'll see. And too, Dad'll be the first one to put me in check, and I mean, I'll be the first one to put him in check, you mm-hmm. know. If
yeah, because you had no problem telling me, folks. She literally said to me a year and a half ago, Daddy, I mean, I love you, but, you know, you have always been the fashion plate for the family. You need to go have your eyes done.
Well, y'all, if we're being honest, a photo popped up of him a couple years ago, and I was like, dang, bro, what happened? Because you were
Life happened.
Yeah, you were.
Lies, treachery, deceit. That's what happened. And five kids.
Y'all, it took, no, the five kids were there when you looked good. So it wasn't us, or at least it wasn't me, y'all, because I make sure he's in check.
The whole point of it, folks, she called me out and said, Daddy, it's time to go have your eyes done. So I went and had my eyes done.
And they look great. He's starting to look younger. He's, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, people say to us, you know, what have you ever done? Well, folks, I have been doing Botox since I was 40. That was the first time that I did it.
That's insane.
But then, yeah, because now y'all are doing it at 20.
Well, yeah, because they say it's preventative.
You know, I started at 40, but then I would do it, and then I'd fall off the wagon and not do it. I was never consistent with it to the point that my doctor says, Todd, there's no sense in you doing it. You really don't need it, and you're not going to follow up with it. Well, folks, I can tell you right now, at 52, I need it.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to stay on my... Shut up, throwing shade.
Well, look at my forehead.
Savannah, when I was 23 years old, my forehead was as tight as Dick's hat band.
I don't even know what that means.
Moving on. But, you know, people said, you know, oh, my God, Todd said all this plastic surgery. I've had my eyes done. I do Botox. I do microneedling. I've had laser done.
So he occupies the office for a full day.
That is not true. It takes literally when I go once every 4 months, and it takes about an hour and a half for me to do everything that I need to do.
Okay.
Now, how long does it take you?
It takes me about an hour.
At 23, y'all, takes her an hour.
Y'all, because like I said, I'm a sucker.
Yeah,
you
we
can
know.
Get me.
And as long as you a sucker, somebody's going to lick you. So remember that.
With libraries, schools, and bookstores shut down, how do you keep your kids learning and growing? Books from Literati, the number one book club for kids, are the best place to start. Literati is a subscription book club that makes it easy to find unique and interesting books for your kids by delivering great stories straight to your doorstep. Literati knows that home deliveries will be critical in meeting your need for uplifting educational materials in the coming weeks. Reading books together will help create a time of adventure and bonding for your family and has real educational benefits. Kids can read books, have better vocabularies, and longer attention spans. Each Literati box contains five beautiful books based on a theme and contains exclusive original art and a personalized note to your child. I can tell you, Chloe has received her first box and she loved it. First of all, the box was addressed to her, so she felt like she was getting mail of her own, which she was. We opened the box. There was this beautiful piece of art and then her five books. We were able to go through the books, look at each one, read them. There were ones, of course, that she was drawn to immediately. And those were the books that I was like, okay, we have to keep these. You know, there was one or two that I wanted her to maybe push herself to read. But the great thing is that you can pick the books that you want to keep, and the books that you don't, you send back in the box. It is super easy. I only had like one book to send back, but I just stuck it right in the box. They give you a label, and they even sent me an email reminding me, okay, it's time for you to look through your books, see which ones you want to keep and which ones you want to return. I found that to be super healthy. And also, they have the cutest little name tags. And it says, this book belongs to Chloe. Chloe absolutely loved that. So after we chose the books that we wanted to keep, we took the little stickers and put them in each of her books. So that way, when she takes them to school, good Lord willing, we make it back to school, everyone will know that's Chloe's book. So for a limited time, go to literati.com/cc for 25% off your first two orders. This is their best offer available anywhere. To get it, you have to go to literati.com/cc for 25% off your first two orders. That's literati, literati.com/cc.
So what's going on in your love life? Because I'm tired of dodging questions, Savannah, of people coming at me on social media and people, you know, in your own family throwing shade and stuff.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm good. Like, and that's the thing with today's world is people, like, you don't have to go by somebody else's timetable.
And I love that when I was out here, folks, you know, as soon as they got engaged, I was planning me a wedding. I'd already hired the wedding planner. I'd already picked the location, everything. And Savannah came and said, Daddy, I need you to slow down. I need you to stop because I have to make sure, yes, we're engaged, but I'm kind of filling this out and trying to figure out whether or not I'm going to, you know, if I feel like I want to give up my independence, if I want to continue doing whatever, and I'm like, okay, well, you can do all of that after I get all this planning done. And she said, no, you need to stop with the planning. So you and Nick are together.
Yes, we're together.
Are you like together? Or are you like very together?
Yes, like we're we've said before, we're not engaged, but we are like committed, dating, we're together.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working on things. We've started couples therapy. I, you know, do therapy on my own. Nick does therapy on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think therapy is anything to be ashamed about. There are a lot of people that are my age.
It's the greatest blessing that I've ever had. And you know that I just started this about a year ago.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that think therapy is something to be ashamed about or that you need to hide.
There's way more to be ashamed about in this world than going to therapy.
Exactly.
Like people wearing shit they shouldn't wear.
But therapy is, I mean, it's a lifesaver and it helps you see yourself differently. It helps you learn differently. It helps you to see your flaws in a safe place.
And who encouraged you to get into therapy?
I mean, it was you.
Okay.
It was after you had started therapy.
And I said it would be the greatest blessing that you have ever had. And I said to you and Nick, I will pay for you both to go separately.
Mm-hmm.
Because you both have issues.
Yeah.
You are I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. Savannah is the child that Gloria Steinem never had. Savannah was literally, before she ever came on this earth, she was a liberated woman. She was I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. And, you know, most men are not comfortable with a woman of power, of influence, of their own financial means. You know, and I think that what I've said to Savannah is that you have to be with someone that is comfortable with who you are now and who you are going to become. And Nick comes from this whole sports world. And, you know, we all know that athletes are narcissistic.
Oh, my God.
Well, they are. And, you know, I mean, and I think to a certain degree they have to be because they eat, breathe, sleep.
And there's so much competition.
Yes, and they're constantly competing and they have to stay at the top of their game. And so I think that when Nick got hurt and had to retire, that was a hard thing for him, right?
Yeah, it was a hard thing because he felt like he could never get to where he wanted to be. And he would be so close and then he'd
be snatched away from him.
And he'd be so close, he'd get hurt again. So he just felt like he was defeated. And, you know, he literally has been playing. He started playing roller hockey, I think, at like 5 years old. So, like, it's been his entire life. So, for me, the best way that I can put it is if the show got taken away. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's what I've been doing since I was 15 years old.
But you don't, but the show doesn't really define you.
No, and that's the thing. It's like, I don't eat, live, breathe
the show.
Like, while I am grateful for it and I have fun with it, I get to work with my family. But at the same time, while the show's still going on, I'm working on things that are my passion.
And you have other things that generate income for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. So it's not the end all be all. So in a way, I can relate to losing something that's maybe a big income for me, but I don't eat, live, and breathe it. So that I don't understand. I've never cared about a hobby so much that
I don't think his was a hobby. His was a career.
Yes. And that's the hard thing. It's one of those situations, unless you're truly in it and living it, you don't really understand.
Well, you know, I think that when I, you know, you and I, the world knows you and I are very close. And, you know, I counsel you, I counsel Chase, I counsel Nick. And it got to a point to where I said, I no longer can benefit either one of you because at this point, you know, I don't feel like that I can be the father to you that I need to be and be your counselor. And I can't be the kind of role model for Nick that I want to be and that he needs to have and be his counselor. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I had said, you know, start talking to Steve.
And, too, it kind of got to a point with you and Nick to where, I mean, they were talking, like, every day. They were super close. But they were, in a way, too close to where it put
you in a bad— To where I could be objective.
Yeah, it put you in a bad position because Nick would confide in him. I would confide in him. And then
I couldn't say anything.
He couldn't say anything.
Because that's called handcuffing in therapy.
Yeah.
I was handcuffed by Savannah. I was handcuffed by Nick. And I finally just flipped my shit one day and told both of them, you both are full of shit. You need to, both of you are narcissistic. Savannah wants to have this huge career. I am woman, hear me roar. She doesn't want to ever be submissive to a man. She wants to control her own destiny. And she was raised to do that. And I realized watching her where I had made some mistakes. That caused me to kind of dig into my therapy and say, okay, I have positioned my girls to not be dependent on a man while at the same time emasculating a man.
But at the same time, things are so much different in today's world. Like, I hate to say it, but in today's world, people are like, oh, yeah, I can get married because there's always divorce.
Mm-hmm. You know, and like, that wasn't thrown around in my generation.
No, really. Like divorce, I feel like in today's world is just so flippant. Like, oh, well, we can just throw some papers at you and it's done. So I want to make sure that I set myself up to where—
For a lifetime of success.
Yeah, for a lifetime of success. And if I have kids, that I can provide for them without someone else,
right,
if need be.
Right.
And that,
well, I'll always
have have a sense of security and I know who I am and I'm fulfilled in my career and life in general. Because I feel like if you're not fulfilled in your career and other aspects of your life, then it's always going to bleed elsewhere.
Well, don't you think, though, that if you are spiritually fulfilled, that the other areas of your life start falling into place quicker?
Yeah, because I feel like spiritually, for me, when I'm going through tough things, since I believe in God, I know where I'm going at the end of the day, that in tough situations, I can look at the word and I can look at things that are said and I can understand better as to why this is happening. Mm-hmm. You know what? Like this whole coronavirus thing. This is happening so God can set us up for something better.
Right.
And so that's what keeps me sane, is being able to read the word, listen to different pastors that I like listening to. And you know what? Life may suck. It may be hard now, but I know there's something greater on the other side.
That's exactly right. And, you know, and I think for Nick, because, I mean, you know that we love Nick.
Yeah.
And Nick is he's just one of the best kids, and he's just got a good heart, and he's compassionate, and, you know, he's always concerned about doing the right thing. He wants to do the right thing.
And with everybody.
Yes. Which
in
gets
turn,
him in trouble
gets
sometimes.
Him in trouble.
That's right, because can't be a slave to two masters. You know, sometimes you just have to say no and be respectful when you say no. And I think that's been a problem for both of y'all in different areas of your life. Because I think you both are people pleasers. Nick is a people pleaser because he has been conditioned to please on the ice, to perform. And I think that was a big change for him. And Nick, you know, when he retired, he came to Nashville. He got his real estate career, folks, over a summer.
But literally, y'all, he took his class and literally like 2 days later, he went and took his test. He was one of the first people out and passed it immediately.
Right. And has done so well in the 6 months of selling real estate that, I mean, I look at him and say, dude, you understand that, you know, on this trajectory that you're on, you're going to outpace yourself as far as your hockey salary versus where you are today. And I think when I sat there and explained that to him and pointed it out to him, you could see the pride come out. And, you know, I think that for Nick is a guy's guy. Nick wants to be the man. He wants to be the provider. He wants to be the father to his children. And he wants to be the disciplinarian and the one that's laying down the rules. And then I have this daughter that I've raised who's like, nah, slow up, back up a minute.
Well, and too, that's where I've had to learn that I've had to learn
to have a softer approach.
Yeah, I've had to learn that I can be strong and I can be independent and
without being loud and obnoxious.
Exactly, without being so harsh. And that's one of the things. I think I get it from somebody sitting real close to me.
Okay.
That
you probably do. You probably do.
But I know that it does. And I hate to say it, but men can get away with it a lot easier than women. It's just the world that we live in.
But let's change that conversation, because I'm just learning at 52 through my therapist, Steve, who, folks, has been a lifesaver for our entire family. Steve said something, because you and I had an argument last week.
Yeah.
And I accused you of being fake.
Yes.
And that I wasn't going to have that fake hypocritical bullshit around me.
Yes.
And folks, I have tried to get so much better with my cursing.
And I don't think y'all realize, though, that whenever he and I get into an argument, literally, I fall apart. Like, I just,
because it's so rare. Because it's so rare.
And I can't focus on anything else.
And what did I tell you we had to work on for that?
Well, we had to work on that.
I said, we have to work on you falling apart when I call you out for something, because you need to understand, when I call you out, that is just another form of me loving you enough to be willing to offend you and correct you. And, you know, I had called you. I said, stop with the fake bullshit. Stop with being a hypocrite.
Yes.
That's what I said to you.
Yes.
So then, and then I called your mother out and said, you were wrong, Julie, in not responding to her, giving her the information that she needed. And then you're upset because she went ahead and made a decision without including you in that decision when you were the one that was supposed to have responded. So I got both of you.
Yes.
And then when I said what I wanted to say, what did I end it with?
I love you.
And I'm done talking about this.
I'm done talking about it.
We've discussed it. We're done. So then this week in therapy with Steve, I said, Steve, let me share with you what happened this past week. Let me tell you what I said to my daughter. And how I handled it, and I don't believe that I was wrong. If anything, my delivery was probably off, but I need your perspective. So I gave it to him verbatim. And he said, Todd, I think that the message was on point. I think that exactly what you said to her was on point. I think that, again, your delivery was lacking. He said, I need for you to understand that the louder you speak, the less she hears. The softer you speak, the more you keep her focus. And when he said that, it brought me back to something one time that I said to you, that you were different than my other children, that I could not yell at you. I could not raise my voice to you because then you shut down.
Well, yeah, and I think you learned that very early on. And we look back, like me sitting in your office, mm-hmm. at the house that we grew up in for like our younger childhood. And you'd yell and you'd immediately see me just
recall. Like, I mean, she'd flip. she'd just be like, you could see that the shades went down.
But and I would literally, I would just talk to myself in my head. Like to keep myself from.
Yeah, she'd say things like, oh, I can't wait until I get 18 years old.
No, but just to
and
keep
when your
my
ass goes to an assisted living, you're getting $1 meal a day, not three.
Oh, that's luxury. Oh. What was going through my mind.
You are evil.
But no, it's just that's my way of dealing with things. But then I catch myself maybe when Nick and I get into an argument, yelling or raising my voice.
Repeating the pattern.
Yeah, but then I have to pull back because I realize, whoa, hold up. You're doing to someone else what you don't like being done to you.
Right. And you and I had that conversation.
Yeah.
And I said, you don't like it when I raise my voice at you. You should not be raising your voice to Nick and stop trying to speak over him.
Yeah.
Allow him to have his opinion and then say, you know what? I respect your opinion, but I'm going to respectfully disagree with you. Mm-hmm. And has that helped y'all?
It has. And too, like I said, going back to therapy, that has helped tremendously because, and that's the hard part, is Nick is not a talker. Like,
and Nick's not confrontational.
No.
Which is so odd being a hockey player because, you know, those are mean-ass people. Half of them don't even have their teeth. I mean, they'll bite you, they'll punch you, they'll break. They go out there and they size you up when they get out there to see whose kneecap they can take out.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's just not who he is.
No, but, and growing up, you forced me to talk.
Yes,
you know, like,
I forced all of my kids to talk.
If something was wrong, we were going to talk about it. We were going to talk through it. We were going to talk through every micro detail there was and get to the bottom of it. Nick, he just wasn't that way. He didn't talk. So that's, and too, even through my therapy, I'm talking even more. So I want to talk about every detail. And Nick just, he doesn't. So there are times to where I'll be like, all right, you know what? Calm down and let's talk through this. And I think it may get on his nerves, but it works to our benefit in the end.
But, you know, I think the thing with Nick is that Nick will say, I have watched him with you and I have said, I love how he handles you because he will say, babe, go ahead and finish. Go ahead.
But no, he says it a lot of times in a passive aggressive way that just gets me heated even more. So,
but
no.
So you guys are good though.
Yes, we're fine.
Okay.
We're good.
And he's doing great in his real estate.
Yes, he is.
You're doing great with all the other things that you've got going on and all your real estate stuff and all of that.
Yep.
You're doing good.
Nick sells Nash's Instagram. So if you move it to Nashville, hit him up.
Yes, folks. Nick sells Nash. Not ass.
No.
Nick sells Nash. I mean, I have to tell y'all this thing, though, because Nick is so naive. He is so naive.
Very much so.
And he believes anything anyone tells him. So this guy hits him up on Instagram. And his Nick sells Nash, tells him he's looking for this home and, you know, looking to move to Nashville and whatever. And he sees that Nick works out every morning and he says, you know, you should, you know, do you do personal training? And Nick goes, well, yeah, I mean, you know,
I can do it.
And he goes, I mean, I'd be interested in, like, you know, if you want to give me a price to, you know, be my personal trainer. And Nick goes, okay. So, you know, for like a couple of days, Nick's putting together a meal plan and all this stuff for this guy. And then the guy comes back and says, I mean, I don't want to be I don't want to offend you or anything, but I mean, I like working out in a jock strap. And Nick's reading that at the table, and he looks at me, he's like, doesn't this sound weird to you? And I looked at him, and we all just busted out laughing. I said, Nick, it's fine. I says, every guy that goes to the gym wants to work out with nothing but a jock strap. So, I mean, it should be fine. But he's just a good, decent human being. And, I mean, he believes that if you tell him something, he doesn't come into it thinking that you're lying. And I think we've gone through so much in our life that if you come to us with something, we automatically assume it's a lie, and then we research to find out that it's not a lie.
Like, you have to prove to us that you're not a liar.
Exactly. Because
which is sad.
I know, because we have been suckered out of so much money.
Yeah.
You know, for sob stories and whatever.
And, too, people in general, just lying.
Yeah, like the woman who called, who messaged you and told you she was battered by her husband. Her car had been repossessed, and it's the only way she could get away from him. And you bought her car out of repossession, and you ain't never heard another word from her.
Well, y'all, my philosophy is you can't control what they do with the money, but you know that you tried, and your intentions were good, and that's how I'm keeping it, so...
I mean, you know, so then I'm glad that you guys are good. I'm glad that you and I are good.
Yes, we're good. And too, I have to tell you, whenever we got in that argument, so Dad and I are very much alike, and we're both very
stubborn,
and we're going to get into an argument, and he's not going to text me. He's not going to reach out. He's going to wait till I reach out. And when we got into that argument, I was helping. I was like, I'm not reaching out. And then...
But you did, because you was reaching out to your mother.
No, I ended up reaching out. Remember, I text you, I love you, and good
yes,
night, and whatever.
Did.
And I stopped for a second, and I was like, you know what? This is how every fight normally goes. So what if I just
do it differently?
What if I just eat my pride and I do it differently and I just send a text? And I did. And it changed the whole, instead of it going on for a week, it went on for like 24 hours. So
it didn't even go on for 24 hours. You texted me that evening.
No, but things were
goodnight.
A little tense for 24 hours.
Yes, because I had called you out for bullshit that was wrong. Agreed? Do you agree?
No, but I don't.
You don't agree?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, I don't.
Okay. That's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine that you don't agree with that.
Yeah. Like, I haven't given you reason, all these different reasons to say what you said.
When I called you, when I said you were being fake.
You can say it. I don't care.
Okay, folks, then I'll just go ahead and say it. My thing is, if you are going to talk shit about someone in your life, that you don't agree with what they do and you don't agree with how they handle things. And then I got to turn around 6 hours later and see you working out with them. And then all of a sudden you're going to take a trip with them. I think that's fake.
No, I'm saying, and that this is the thing where me and Dad's relationship, Dad and I, whatever, our relationship, we're so close that at times it can be, it can cause friction, or because I look at him as a best friend. So I vent. Yeah, I gossip about people, but I do it to him. And then it's like girlfriends. You can gossip back and forth. But
what
then
do I tell you when you're going to tell me?
It.
But what do I tell you before you tell me anything about someone?
What do you tell me?
I always tell you, remember before you tell me this. I won't forget it. You may forgive it, but I won't forget it.
Okay, well, I do. But that wasn't even the part that I was upset over. Because really, I could care less about that.
Right.
The part that I was upset over was the drinking part.
Right.
Because Dad wanted to accuse me and said, you just want to go so you can party and drink and whatever. And I have never given you a reason.
No, have not.
I've never called you at 2 a.m. drunk, or I've never called you having to use you to get me out of something because I was stupid and doing something.
No, you have not.
It's like, yes, I am almost 23, so if I want to drink, legally, I can. But it's just not, I'm not going to lie and say, oh, no, I never drank, or I've never drank, because I have. But it's not like I can go the rest of my life without alcohol and be perfectly fine. It's just not the life I want to live. I have really bad endometriosis, so alcohol affects it even more.
And you come from a long history of alcoholism. Yes. On both your mother's side and my side.
So it's just, to me, like, it's not worth it to be going out here on bingers and partying and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you had said.
So that's the thing that
was the thing that bothered
so
me.
So it didn't bother you when I said you was being fake and a hypocrite?
No, that didn't bother me.
That's because you're self-absorbed.
No, it didn't bother me because I knew, like, you know what? This is not something, like, that was not something to have an argument over. I was just like, okay, whatever. But whenever it came to the drinking, the partying, the whatever, I don't want to have that label. So that's why it bothered me.
Okay. And folks, the reason that I said it is because of the group that she was going, that she was planning on going with. And I said, no, the reason you did it this way is because you don't want me to know about y'all down there drinking and partying. So if you're saying that that offended you,
yes,
because it was incorrect and inappropriate for me to say that, then let me, on Chrisley Confessions, say to millions of listeners that I apologize.
Well, thank you. I think just I'm never
will
going
you
to.
Now accept and acknowledge that your behavior could be construed as fake and hypocritical.
100%.
Okay, then. But folks, we're going
to
move on.
I just know, like, if I want to gossip, I got to gossip to my mama.
Yeah, because don't come and tell me shit about people that, because you know I don't give a shit about all this stuff that's going on. But when you come and tell me something about somebody that has the potential of hurting you, I cut them off immediately.
Yeah, which I'm
forgiven.
Just, at the end of the day, I'm going to gossip with my mama. And
yes,
I'm
please
keep
do.
To that.
Please do. I respect
that. Because
we know
that. We can say, oh my God, I effing hate him. There's blah, 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 blah. And then 5 minutes later, we can be like, hey, y'all want to go to lunch?
Now, see, folks, now those are the people you don't want to be going to lunch with. You want to go to lunch with Tide, because how you enter that room with Tide is how you're going to leave that room with Tide. All right, so then let's jump into the weekly. As the Georgia Department of Revenue turns, so many of you, and I mean, literally, I need to start a podcast just about the Georgia Department of Revenue.
And to after this, I feel like we should start a podcast
about government corruption.
Well, government corruption, but also like just relationships, like father-daughter relationships, other relationships. It could be great.
So last week, we talked on the podcast about all the people that were involved in this corruption within the Georgia Department of Revenue. Well, this past week, we had a production of documents turned over to us confirming that the Georgia Department of Revenue had violated and lied to my counsel about turning over everything that they had. Well, now, I've been saying, folks, for months and months and months that the Georgia Department of Revenue was hiding documents, that they were not disclosing information that they were sitting on. They were lying about their relationships with other government agencies. We knew that they had lied. We had already had so many people, past and present employees of the Georgia Department of Revenue, that had come forward. And, you know, they just fired a couple of other people, and they think that when they do that, these people are not going to talk. So at any rate, we found out what I had known all along, which had been told to us in 2018, that the current at the time, it was Lynn Riley who was the commissioner. She's now the treasurer of the state of Georgia. So in this production of documents, we find an email from Josh Waits stating that Jody Fleischer with WSB-TV, she's now currently in D.C., but I look forward to her deposition, that she had shared her story that she was going to run on WSB-TV, which Josh Waits and Lynn Riley knew was a lie. They knew that these taxes were not owed. And we have an email, which I'm going to post on my social media here in the next few days, from the auditor in the Georgia Department of Revenue, where he's telling everyone on this email, I have reviewed all of the Chrisley's returns, and it appears as if Todd Chrisley has reported all of his income. It then goes on to say, after reviewing Julie Chrisley's tax returns, it appears that she, per the database, which is what the IRS puts in your, I guess, 1099s and W-2s and whatever, he goes on to state that per the database, it appears as if Julie has reported all of her income. She even reported $500,000 more on her tax returns than the database shows. He then, in the third paragraph, says, I guess we could do it this way and have Julie to amend her return showing that she owns part of our my former company, the company that Julie and I had with a crooked-ass business partner, so it would change her tax return that the accountants had done in 2009 and that was accepted by the IRS. So here this auditor is within the Department of Revenue telling everyone on this email, if we could force her to change the percentage allocations from the company to where she takes on some of that, then we could get her for $40,000 in taxes for the Georgia Department of Revenue. We could also, since Todd has reported everything, we could go back on him and have him to amend his return and force him to show all the receipts for his deductions for 2009, thinking that we were not going to have those receipts because that's what I pay accountants for. So you better have the damn receipts because you billed me for keeping up with this stuff. So here they are, folks, looking to create a tax issue. Not to correct one, but to create one. So then we see that Josh Waits is sitting here saying to, I'm not going to say the person's name because I'm not 100% sure on the two people that he copied on the email. I don't have it in front of me. But he sends this email stating, this individual sends an email to Josh and said, wow, I watched Jody's interview last night. It certainly looks like she's saying she got all their tax information from the Department of Revenue, which, folks, by the way, is illegal. It's a felony. So this guy was worried that Jody had outed the Department of Revenue. Josh comes back and says, nah, dude, don't worry about it. He says, Jody let me and Lynn watch it before she aired it. We're all good. Now, that says that Lynn Riley was involved. Now, this woman is now the treasurer of the state of Georgia. We knew that she knew about the corruption that was going on within the Department of Revenue, but now she's been elevated to the treasurer of the state of Georgia to where she can continue to embed corruption throughout the state. Now, you know, it's just like rats. You know, rats scurry around and they start feeding off, you know, they'll feed off of each other. Well, that's what's happening within the Georgia Department of Revenue right now. You know, you got David Curry over here trying to bring back Nixon and Watergate. I did not do a thing. I mean, you know, and sitting up here, you know, with his thumb up his ass, acting like as the commissioner that he doesn't know anything other than picking pickles, baking cookies and poking pork. He's worried about his three restaurants on the state's dime, the taxpayer's dime, and not worried about the corruption that is going on right in his face. Let me tell you why. Because this man was in Josh Waits's camp. This man was in bed with Josh Waits and knew what he was doing. This is the same man that stood up and told when Josh, that first of all, that he they go out here and they say that Josh resigned. Josh didn't resign. Josh was fired. And David Curry says, you know, it's a sad day. You know, Josh brought so much good to this department. Scott Graham was even about to cry. I'm saying that Scott Graham has been so far up Josh's ass that if Josh had farted, he'd have blown damn Scott into three other states. So, you know, Scott's devastated that Josh is leaving. and going to pursue other things. No, hell he wasn't, Scott. He wasn't going to pursue shit. He was fired for lying on his resume. That's how they wanted to clean it up, to say that he lied on his resume. They never addressed the theft, the misappropriation of funds, the abuse of power, the abuse of using law enforcement to arrest innocent people. The abuse that he used his badge for is unprecedented, by locking up an African-American male right before Christmas and stating, don't release him until after the first of the year. And folks, for him to have the kind of power within Georgia police to have that actually occur, we have the records. We can show it. If you go back and look at the complaint that we filed, we did not put out in the press this gentleman's picture of him being put in the back of a cop car. Go look at the lawsuit that we filed and pull this gentleman's photograph, and you will see that this man, Josh Waits, had him arrested because Josh Waits pulled this man over because he said he was speeding. Josh Waits should not be out here pulling anybody over for speeding. And the guy says, when you get a real badge, then you call me. And he pulls off. So at the end of the day, it was so egregious what he did to this man that he specifically told the arresting office to keep him in jail until after the first of the year. That's what he does. He loves to target minorities. He loves to show power. The stories that are going to come out here in the next 4 to 5 weeks, I cannot imagine that the state of Georgia and that the governor will not be looking for a replacement for David Curry. So anyone out there that has the credentials of actually being a commissioner of a valid, real, uncorrupted Department of Revenue, be watching for that job opening. I hear there's going to be many job openings occurring. I have been told that there's going to be criminal prosecutions. Now, we're going to see, and the press is going to be turned loose with all of this evidence within the next 4 to 5 weeks. And it should be a shit show at that point, because what we've collected is crimes being committed by people within the Georgia Department of Revenue. If you are a taxpayer and resident in the state of Georgia, you need to know that these corrupt individuals in OSI, in compliance, within the top echelon of the Department of Revenue, Georgia Department of Revenue, that they have tools to where they can look into every bank account you have, every asset you own, your criminal background, etc. And they pass this stuff around freely to each other. That's a felony, folks. Using the computer to transmit this information is a misdemeanor. And those are the things that they did to us and others. And others, folks. If you are construed as having wealth in the state of Georgia, these thirsty bitches at the Georgia Department of Revenue, they want to know how much you have and how much what they have to do to take you down to get it. So I'm going to say, without calling the individuals out, because I feel like that I've done that already, that within the next 4 to 5 weeks, this information is going to be released. It's going to be released. And it's going to come out, all of the corruption that has been done and that we have proof of. You know, the Attorney General, Alex, he's an attorney within the AG's office, Alex Sponseller, has acknowledged that the FinCEN's occurred, has acknowledged that the affidavits occurred. And we know who signed them, and we know who pulled them. We know who pulled the GCICs. We know who created the fake case numbers. We know about emails discussing the GCICs. We know about emails discussing the FinCEN, and we know about the individuals involved in those emails. We know about, we have the case numbers. We have the case numbers, folks, that was created and nothing else ever done after the case numbers were created. So those individuals should be prosecuted, and we are going to do everything we can, even if it means going to the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C., to make sure that these individuals are fired and that they're prosecuted. So I think that that's the update that I'm going to give you now. I'm looking forward to all of this coming out. I'm looking forward to the press reporting it accurately. And we have tons of press every day asking us for updates. We're going to release it all at the same time. So everyone gets it at the same time. So everyone can use this information and the documentation to show that what is being said is 100% factual. So I hope that that gives you your update this week for the As the World Turns with the Georgia Department of Revenue.
And too, I just want to say, you are, if people know you, they know you are one of the kindest, most giving, most loving human beings there are.
Thank you.
So with this whole situation, it's sad because you're now having to defend all of us and you're having to prove and you're having to fight against the government to save us. And that's the sad part, is you're having to jump through all these hoops. And, you know, it's not about you getting people fired or whatever. It's
no,
not about,
because that I don't want to take someone's job unless they deserve for their job to be taken.
Exactly. Because for other people, never in a million years do we want other people to have to go through what we've gone through. And what we as kids have had to watch.
Right. I don't want families going through what my family has had to go through.
And that's why these people have to go.
That's right. Because at the end of the day, you know, last week I had said that, you know, these folks at the Georgia Department of Revenue, did they think about the potential of getting caught and what that would put their families through, the shame, the embarrassment, the ridicule, the humiliation, you know, of having to see their child say, Daddy, what's going on?
I mean,
Mama, what's going on?
They didn't care about
my children. They didn't care about my family.
For a little while, we knew, like, we didn't really know anything that was going on, but then they started coming for us.
Exactly.
So then we knew
with
it all.
With the help of family members.
Yes, with the help of family members. And that's the sad part, is that's why anyone that comes in contact with us, we automatically don't trust.
That's
and we
right.
think they're up to something.
That's right.
I have had a family member try to tear me down. And at the end of the day, it comes from jealousy. It comes from them wanting to be in the spotlight. And that's what it comes from.
Well, I think that, you know, when you start looking at, you know, we've had multiple family members, not just one.
Yeah.
We've had multiple. You know, we now have that evidence. We now have the evidence of the participation that our own family had in this Georgia Department of Revenue investigation. We now have the Skyped video recordings of people within our family communicating with the Georgia Department of Revenue. We know that Kyle's ex-wife, I now have all the emails that she sent to the Georgia Department of Revenue. I now have all of her communications, her voicemails. You know, for her to say she never had any involvement, this folks was a woman who was so thirsty trying to get into this family that I saw her for what she was from day one. And of course, you know, she blamed it all on another family member that I'll choose to not mention at this point. She chose to blame it all on the other family member. Well, the evidence is out. I am going to be filing another lawsuit. This one's going to be filed against Alexis Wilby. And it's going to be filed for torturous interference of business, slander, defamation of character. And we're going to be asking for damages for pain, suffering, and mental anguish. So that lawsuit is coming because now the Department of Revenue has turned over all of their communication with Alexis Wilby. And we now have everything that we need to prove what she did and the lies that she told. We have the documents that she submitted, you know, receipts for Chloe's clothing. Well, those receipts for Chloe's clothing are what we paid. The question is, how did you get them? So we're looking into theft of documents. We're looking into all of it. But what we have now is enough to get the lawsuit filed and the evidence to prove beyond any reasonable doubt what she did. So that lawsuit is coming within the next 2 to 3 weeks. So, you know, and there's going to be more lawsuits to come from this. because we now have all the evidence. And when I say all, we don't have all of it because I want to make sure that everyone knows that it has been confirmed from the state that Josh Waitz has destroyed evidence. That has been confirmed. From the state, folks, the state has now confirmed what we've been saying for a year, that Josh Waitz destroyed evidence. And folks, these folks were sent spoliation notices. You are going to jail for destroying evidence when these spoliation notices were sent out well over a year and a half ago, and Josh knew that. But he still destroyed evidence through the assistance of the Department of Revenue to hide all the communication with federal employees, with state employees, with other law enforcement officers, and with private citizens, where he's discussing our tax status, the case he's working on. We have the text messages that Josh claims to have destroyed. We may not have them all, but the fact that he destroyed it and the state knows it and has acknowledged it, that right there proves his guilt. That proves it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And the criminal activities that I speak about, we have the evidence to prove it. So we're going to see what the state does with this once the press gets a hold of it and they see all of the crimes that have been committed. So we'll kind of go from there. So with that being said, let's try to take... Oh, we're already over our time. Let's try to get one or two calls in from viewers this week.
Hi, Todd. Hi, Julie. This is Susan again from Denver. Todd, I'm so glad to hear that you survived the coronavirus. My question is, I have a friend who has three stepchildren, and the biological mother of one of her stepchildren reached out to her and said that she had no business trying to be a proud grandmother. Well, my friend asked me how should she respond to this. Should she just ignore the biological mother of her stepkids, or should she respond Southern Thug style? I told her just do the Christian Lee thing and turn the other cheek. But my friend seems to be a little bit stubborn. Can you help me out? Thanks. Bye.
Susan, thank you so much for calling in. You know, we have that same similar situation. You know, Chloe's biological grandmother is Kyle's biological mother. But listen, she was never a mother to Lindsay and Kyle, and she's never been around Chloe. And there's no need for her to be around Chloe because she's already screwed up Lindsay and Kyle. So she's not going to have the opportunity to screw Chloe up. You know, Kyle brought this beautiful, huge, he and Ashley, this beautiful, huge flower arrangement on Mother's Day to Julie and a card. And it was such a beautiful card. And Kyle wrote a beautiful message in it. And he said, thanks for everything that you have always done for me. Love you, Mom. Now, although Julie's not his biological mother, she's the only mother that he's ever had, that's ever stood in there as a mother. So if this biological mother of these three children that she didn't raise, I guess that's what you're saying, and now one of those kids have had a child, if the parent that raised those children, they absolutely have more of a right to be proud of being a grandparent than the deadbeat parent who didn't raise them. So I'm on side with your friend here because I believe in giving credit where credit's due. If you're a piss poor excuse for a parent, then you get the credit for being a piss poor excuse for a parent. If you are an amazing parent and you've changed your child, someone's life and made them better, then you deserve to get the credit for that. I mean, listen, you know, Lindsay and Kyle, you know, I clearly failed them in some way. And, you know, what way that is, I don't know. But what I will not take on is any of my kids' screw-ups. The mistakes you make belong to you because you're making them as adults. I raised you. I put a roof over your head. I fed, clothed, bathed, made sure you had proper medical care, educated you. You had everything that money could buy. But more importantly, you went to bed every night knowing that I loved you. And if you didn't, it's because you refused to accept the love. That was on you. It wasn't on me because I put it out there for you. And I say the same thing to you, Savannah. I say it to Chase. I say it to Grayson. I can only love you as much as you're willing to let me. And I believe at the end of the day, if the parent of this grandchild doesn't have a problem with your friend claiming that child as her grandchild, then the mother who's bitching about it shouldn't. And if the mother who loved her children the way she's supposed to, these three kids, she should be grateful for any person in the world that is going to love her grandchild and her child, not try to degrade them because she couldn't be them. So I do believe that there's women out here that should never be mothers. I've dealt with one of those. And then there's women out here who were meant to be nothing but mothers. So I just think that, you know, stand by your friend, let her make that decision. You are her friend, but you don't know the heartache that has gone along with her raising these three children that came biologically from another woman. So you don't know what, you know, really she's your best friend, but even best friends don't tell each other everything. Sometimes the hurt's so deep that you just keep it within yourself. So give her some grace. Forgiveness comes from grace. It's not an obligation of the person who's been harmed to forgive someone else. You forgive for yourself, not for the person who's harmed you. But forgiveness comes from grace. So grant her the grace to work through this on her own. So with that being said, folks, we are completely out of time. We're over our time slot. And I thank each and every one of you so much for tuning in to Chrisley Confessions. Savannah, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Maybe we'll have a chat once a week about relationships and kind of parent, you know, father-daughter relationships. Or
it'll be great because we'll get into another argument.
No arguing, just a difference of opinion.
Yes.
And you know that I love you more than anything in the world outside of God and your mother.
Yes.
And, you know, thank you all for tuning in to Chrisley Confessions each week. Thank you for tuning in to Chrisley Knows Best and for growing up Chrisley, because without you guys, we wouldn't have the platform that we have. You know, I've been talking for 2 years that, you know, I'm going to retire. And
there's just so much more for us to do, though.
Well, I mean, we're going to do a lot of other things, but, you know, are we going to do it on the same in the same platform? I believe that what God has in store for us, now, you know, clearly we're going to keep doing the show, so don't let a tabloid run out here and say that we're not doing the show, because we're doing the show,
folks. I mean, Dad, we have Tina Fey watching us.
Folks, can you believe that yesterday morning on the Today Show, Tina Fey, when Hoda Kotb asked her, what have you been doing to, you know, during the quarantine? Tina Fey said, I am now best friends with the Chrisleys. We love Chrisley Knows Best.
You can see the clip on both Dad's social media and mine.
Yes. And it was amazing.
I just have to say, y'all, Bridesmaids, that will forever be one of our favorite movies. Yes, she was. She was in that. He just smiled to me. She wasn't in that.
I'm not sure.
Daddy.
Well, at any rate, I love Tina Fey. I'm disappointed that Tina is not on social media. Yes, she is. That's right, Savannah. You're right. I can't stand you being right so much.
I know.
But love, love, love Tina Fey. Thank you so much for that shout out yesterday on the Today Show. Folks, go to our Instagram and watch the clip. It was amazing. And again, you know, we're just so grateful for all of the people from, you know, just regular people like us to what I consider celebrities, from major athletes to truly gifted, crafted people that are in the industry, that are actors and actresses that work towards their craft. I mean, we were just born with having no filter. These people actually go out here and win Emmys and Oscars and Academy Awards because they study and they fall into their parts. And these people follow us, and these people shout out for us. And for that, we're so grateful. For all the people in country music that support us, we're so grateful for that. And, you know, I will say that it's, you know, for the show, you know, we've given up so much privacy. But, you know, I did go through the coronavirus and was in the hospital and have now been notified that an employee breached my medical history. They've been terminated, but they breached my medical history. And their excuse was they had seen that I was in the hospital and that I had the coronavirus, and they were just curious as to what my records would reveal. You lost your job over that. Was it worth it? But, you know, that's the kind of stuff that we deal with every day.
The crap that we have happen to us all.
That could be another television show.
It really could
be another television show. So shout out to Tina Fey. Shout out to who I love dearly, Hoda.
And Tina Fey, if you want to grab lunch sometime.
Just call Tide, Tina. I mean, you know, Tina said that the reason that she is not on social media is because she cannot put her nipples on social media.
What?
That's why she says she doesn't have, she and Amy Poehler, they're not going to be on any social media platform where they can't expose their nipples.
Oh, my.
So with that being said, folks, we love each and every one of you. God bless you. Until next week, love yourselves, love each other, and give faith to God above who makes it all happen. Thank you.